Before. But it is extremely difficult to say, in a manner to be apprehended, what is the understanding of truth and the will of good in the proper sense, for the reason that a man supposes everything he thinks to be of the understanding, since he calls it so, and everything that he desires he supposes to be of the will, since he calls it so. And it is the more difficult to explain this so as to be apprehended, because most men at this day are also ignorant of the fact that what belongs to the understanding is distinct from what belongs to the will. For when they think anything, they say they will it, and when they will a thing, they say they think it. This is one cause of the difficulty. And another reason why this subject can with difficulty be comprehended is that men are solely in what is of the body, that is, their life is in the most external things. And for these reasons they do not know that there is in every man something that is interior, and something still interior to that, and indeed an inmost, and that his corporeal and sensuous part is only the outermost. Desires and things of the memory are interior. Affections and rational things are interior still to these. And the will of good and understanding of truth are inmost. And these are so distinct from one another that nothing can ever be more distinct. The corporeal man makes all these into a one and confounds them. This is why he believes that when his body dies, all things will die, though in fact he then first begins to live, and this by his interiors following one another closely in their order. If his interiors were not thus distinct and did not thus succeed each other, men could never be in the other life spirits, angelic spirits, and angels, these being thus distinguished according to their interiors. For this reason there are three heavens, quite distinct from one another. From these considerations it may now in some measure be evident what in the proper sense are the understanding of truth and the will of good, and that they can be predicated only of the celestial man, or of the angels of the third heaven. 6:35. What is said in the preceding verse and in this one signifies that in the end of the days of the antediluvian church all understanding of truth and will of good had perished, so that among the antediluvians who were imbued with dreadful persuasions and filthy lusts, not even a vestige appeared. But with those who are called Noah, there continued to be remains, which, however, could not bring forth anything of understanding and will, but only rational truth and natural good. For the operation of remains is according to the nature of the man. Through remains, these people could be regenerated, and persuasions did not obstruct and absorb the Lord's operation through remains. Persuasions or principles of falsity, when enrooted, impede all operation. And unless these are first eradicated, the man can never be regenerated. Concerning which subject of the Lord's divine mercy, we will treat hereafter. 6:36. I will destroy them with the earth. That this signifies that together with the church the human race would perish is evident from its being said with the earth. For the earth in a wide sense signifies love, as before said, and thus the celestial of the church. Here, since no love and nothing whatever that is celestial remained, the earth signifies the love of self and whatever is contrary to the celestial of the church. And yet there was a man of the church, for they had doctrinal things of faith. For, as before stated, the earth is the containant of the ground, and the ground is the containant of the field. as love is the containment of faith, and faith is the containment of the cognitions of faith. 637. That I will destroy them with the earth signifies that together with the church the human race would perish, is on this account. If the Lord's church should be entirely extinguished on the earth, the human race could by no means exist, but one and all would perish. The church, as before said, is as the heart. So long as the heart lives, the neighboring viscera and members can live. But as soon as the heart dies, they one and all die also. The Lord's church on earth is as the heart, whence the human race, even that part of it which is outside the church, has life. The reason is quite unknown to anyone, but in order that something of it may be known, it may be stated that the whole human race on earth is as a body with its parts, wherein the church is as the heart. And that unless there were a church with which, as with a heart, the Lord might be united through heaven and the world of spirits, there would be disjunction. And if there were disjunction of the human race from the Lord, it would instantly perish. This is the reason why, from the first creation of man, there has always been some church. And whenever the church has begun to perish, it has yet remained with some. This was also the reason of the Lord's coming into the world. If in his divine mercy he had not come, the whole human race on this earth would have perished. For the church was then at its last extremity, and there was scarcely any good and truth surviving. The reason why the human race cannot live unless it is conjoined with the Lord through heaven and the world of spirits is that regarded in himself, man is much viler than the brutes. If left to himself, he would rush into the ruin of himself and of all things, for he desires nothing but what would make for the destruction of himself and of all. His order should be that one should love another as himself, but now everyone loves himself more than others, and thus hates all others. But with brute animals the case is quite different. Their order is that according to which they live. Thus they live quite according to the order in which they are, and man entirely contrary to his order. Therefore, unless the Lord should have compassion on him and conjoin him with himself through angels, he could not live a single moment. But this he does not know. 638, verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher woods. Mansions shalt thou make the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. By the ark is signified the man of that church. By gopher wood, his lusts. By the mansions are signified the two parts of the man, which are the will and the understanding. By pitching it within and without is signified his preservation from an inundation of lusts. 639. That by the ark is signified the man of that church, or the church called Noah, is sufficiently evident from the description of it in the following verses, and from the fact that the Lord's word everywhere involves spiritual and celestial things, that is, that the word is spiritual and celestial. If the ark with its coating of pitch, its measurement and its construction, and the flood also, signified nothing more than the letter expresses, there would be nothing at all spiritual and celestial in the account of it, but only something historical, which would be of no more use to the human race than any similar thing described by secular writers. but because the word of the Lord everywhere in its bosom or interiors involves and contains spiritual and celestial things. It is very evident that by the ark and all the things said about the ark are signified hidden things not yet revealed. It is the same in other places, as in the case of the little ark in which Moses was concealed, which was placed among the sedge by the riverside. Exodus 2, verse 3. And to take a more lofty instance, it was the same with the holy ark in the wilderness that was made after the pattern shown to Moses on Mount Sinai. If each and all things in this ark had not been representative of the Lord and his kingdom, it would have been nothing but a sort of idol, and the worship idolatrous. Similarly, the temple of Solomon was not holy at all of itself, or on account of the gold, silver, cedar, and stone in it, but on account of all the things which these represented. And so here, if the ark and its construction with its several particulars did not signify some hidden thing of the church, the word would not be the word of the Lord, but a kind of dead letter, as in the case of any profane writer. Therefore it is evident that the ark signifies the man of the church, or the church called Noah. 6:40. That by gopher woods are signified lusts, and by the mansions, the two parts of this man, which are the will and the understanding, no one has hitherto known. Nor can any one know how these things are signified, unless he is first told how the case was with that church. The most ancient church, as has often been said, knew from love whatever was of faith, or what is the same, from a will of good had understanding of truth. But their posterity received also by inheritance that lusts which are of the will ruled over them, in which they immersed the doctrinal things of faith, and thus became Nephilim. When, therefore, the Lord foresaw that if man continued to be of such a nature he would perish eternally, he provided that the will should be separated from the understanding, and that man should be formed not as before by a will of good, but through an understanding of truth should be endowed with charity, which appears as a will of good. Such became this new church which is called Noah, and thus it was of an entirely different nature from the most ancient church. Besides this church, there were other churches also at that time, as that which is called Enosh. See chapter 4, verse 26. And others also, of which no such mention and description is extant. Only this church Noah is here described, because it was of another and entirely different nature from the most ancient church. 6:41. As this man of the church must be reformed as to that part of man which is called the understanding, before he could be reformed as to the other part which is called the will, it is here described how the things of the will were separated from those of the understanding, and were, as it were, covered over and reserved, lest anything should touch the will. For if the things of the will, that is, of lust, had been excited, the man would have perished, as will appear of the Lord's divine mercy hereafter. These two parts, the will and the understanding, are so distinct in man that nothing could be more distinct, as has been granted me also to know with certainty from the fact that things of the understanding of spirits and angels flow into the left part of the head or brain, and things of the will into the right, and it is the same with respect to the face. When angelic spirits flow in, they do so gently, like the softest breaths of air. But when evil spirits flow in, it is like an inundation into the left part of the brain with dreadful fantasies and persuasions, and into the right with lusts. Their influx being, as it were, an inundation of fantasies and lusts. 642. From all this it is evident what this first description of the ark involves, with its construction of gopher wood, its mansions, and its coating within and without with pitch, namely, that one part, that of the will, was preserved from inundation, and only that part opened which is of the understanding, and it is described in verse 16, by the window, the door, and the lowest, second, and third stories. These things are not easily believed, because hitherto no one has had any idea of them, and yet they are most true. But these are the least and most general of the hidden meanings which man is ignorant of. If the individual particulars were told him, he could not apprehend even one of them. 643. But as regards the signification itself of the words, that gopher wood signifies lusts, and the mansions the two parts of man, is evident from the word. Gopher wood is a wood abounding in sulfur, like the fir, and others of its kind. On account of its sulfur, it is said that it signifies lusts, because it easily takes fire. The most ancient people compared things in man, and regarded them as having a likeness, to gold, silver, brass, iron, stone, and wood. His inmost celestial to gold, his lower celestial to brass, and what was lowest or the corporeal therefrom to wood. But his inmost spiritual they compared and regarded as having a likeness to silver, his lower spiritual to iron, and his lowest to stone. And such in the internal sense is the signification of these things when they are mentioned in the word, as in Isaiah. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thine officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. 60, verse 17. Here the Lord's kingdom is treated of, in which there are not such metals, but spiritual and celestial things. And that these are signified is very evident from the mention of peace and righteousness. Gold, brass, and wood here correspond to one another, and signify things celestial or of the will, as before said. And silver, iron, and stone correspond to one another, and signify things spiritual or of the understanding. In Ezekiel, they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, thy stones, and thy wood. 26, verse 12. It is very manifest that by riches and merchandise are not meant worldly riches and merchandise, but celestial and spiritual, and the same by the stones and wood, the stones being those things which are of the understanding, and the wood those which are of the will. In Habakkuk, the stone crieth out of the wall, and the beam out of the wood answereth. 2, verse 11. The stone denotes the lowest degree of the understanding, and the wood the lowest of the will, which answers when anything is drawn from the sensuous scientific. Again, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, this shall teach. Behold, it is fastened with gold and silver, and there is no breath in the midst of it. but Yahuwah is in the temple of His holiness. 2 verses 19 and 20. Here also wood denotes lust. Stone denotes the lowest of the understanding, and therefore to be dumb and to teach are predicated of it. There is no breath in the midst of it, signifies that it represents nothing celestial and spiritual, just as a temple wherein are stone and wood, and these bound together with gold and silver, is to those who think nothing of what they represent. In Jeremiah, we drink our waters for silver, our wood cometh for price. Lamentations 5, verse 4. Here waters and silver signify the things of the understanding, and wood those of the will. Again, saying to wood, Thou art my father, and to the stone, Thou hast brought us forth. Jeremiah 2, verse 27. Here wood denotes lust, which is of the will, whence is the conception, and stone the sensuous scientific, from which is the bringing forth. Hence, in different places in the prophets, serving wood and stone is put for worshipping graven images of wood and stone, by which is signified that they served lusts and fantasies. And also committing adultery with wood and stone, as in Jeremiah 3, verse 9. In Hosea, My people inquire of their wood, and the staff thereof declareth unto them, because the spirit of whoredoms hath led them away. 4, verse 12. This means that they make inquiry of graven images of wood, or of cupidities. In Isaiah, Tophet is prepared from yesterday, the pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Yahuwah is like a stream of burning sulfur. 30, verse 33. Here fire, sulfur, and wood stand for foul lusts. In general, wood signifies the things of the will which are lowest. The precious woods, such as cedar and the like, those which are good. As, for example, the cedar wood in the temple, and the cedar wood employed in the cleansing of leprosy. Leviticus 14, verses 4, 6, and 7. Also the wood cast into the bitter waters at Marah, whereby the waters became sweet. Exodus 15, verse 25. Concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat in those places. But woods that were not precious, and those that were made into graven images, as well as those used for funeral piles and the like, signify lusts. As in this place does the gopher wood on account of its sulfur. So in Isaiah, The day of vengeance of Yahuwah, the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into sulfur, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. 34, verse 9. Pitch stands for dreadful fantasies, sulfur for abominable lusts. 6:44. That by the mansions are signified the two parts of man, which are the will and the understanding, is evident from what has been stated before. That these two parts, the will and the understanding, are quite distinct from each other, and that for this reason, as before said, the human brain is divided into two parts called hemispheres. To its left hemisphere belong the intellectual faculties, and to the right those of the will. This is the most general distinction. Besides this, both the will and the understanding are distinguished into innumerable parts, For so many are the divisions of the intellectual things of man, and so many those of the will, that they can never be described or enumerated, even as to the universal genera, still less as to their species. A man is a kind of least heaven, corresponding to the world of spirits and to heaven, wherein all the genera and all the species of the things of the understanding and of the will are distinguished by the Lord in the most perfect order, so that even the least of them is distinguished, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. In heaven these divisions are called societies, in the word habitations, and by the Lord mansions. John 14:2. Here also they are called mansions because they are predicated of the ark, which signifies the man of the church. 6:45. That to pitch it within and without with pitch signifies preservation from an inundation of lusts is evident from what has been said before. For the man of this church was first to be reformed as to the things of his understanding, and therefore he was preserved from an inundation of lusts, which would destroy all the work of reformation. In the original text, it is not indeed said that it was to be pitched with pitch, but a word is used which denotes protection, derived from expiate or propitiate, and therefore it involves the same. The expiation or propitiation of the Lord is protection from the inundation of evil. 6:46:15. And thus shalt thou make it, 300 cubits the length of the ark, 50 cubits its breadth, and 30 cubits its height. By the numbers, here as before, are signified remains, that they were few. The length is their holiness, the breadth their truth, and the height their good. 6:47. That these particulars have such a signification as that the numbers 300, 50, and 30 signify remains and that they are few, and that length, breadth, and height signify holiness, truth, and good, cannot but appear strange to everyone and very remote from the letter. But in addition to what was said and shown above concerning numbers at verse 3 of this chapter, that 120 there signify remains of faith, it may be evident to everyone also from the fact that those who are in the internal sense, as are good spirits and angels, are beyond all such things as are earthly, corporeal, and merely of the world, and thus are beyond all matters of number and measure. And yet it is given them by the Lord to perceive the word fully, and this entirely apart from such things. And this being true, it may therefore be very evident that these particulars involve things celestial and spiritual, which are so remote from the sense of the letter that it cannot even appear that there are such things. Such are celestial and spiritual things both in general and in particular. And from this a man may know how insane it is to desire to search into those things which are matters of faith, by means of the things of sense and scientific, and to be unwilling to believe unless he apprehends them in this way. 6:48. That in the word numbers and measures signify things celestial and spiritual is very evident from the measurement of the New Jerusalem and of the temple in John and in Ezekiel. Anyone may see that by the New Jerusalem and the New Temple is signified the kingdom of the Lord in the heavens and on earth, and that the kingdom of the Lord in the heavens and on earth is not subject to earthly measurement, and yet its dimensions as to length, breadth, and height are designated by numbers. From this, anyone may conclude that by the numbers and measures are signified holy things, as in John. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood and said unto me, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. Revelation 11, verse 1. And concerning the New Jerusalem. The wall of the New Jerusalem was great and high, having 12 gates, and over the gates 12 angels, and names written, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. The city lieth foursquare, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height thereof are equal. He measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, which is the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. Revelation 21, verses 12-17. The number 12 occurs here throughout, which is a very holy number because it signifies the holy things of faith, as said above at verse 3 of this chapter, and as will be shown of the Lord's divine mercy at the 29th and 30th chapters of Genesis. And therefore it is added that this measure is the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. It is the same with the New Temple and New Jerusalem in Ezekiel, which are also described as to their measures. 40, verses 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 14, 22, 25, 30, 36, 42, and 47. 41 verses 1 to the end. 42 verses 5-15. Zechariah 2 verses 1 and 2. Here too, regarded in themselves, the numbers signify nothing but the holy, celestial, and spiritual, abstractedly from the numbers. So with all the numbers are the dimensions of the ark. Exodus 25, verse 10. Of the mercy seat, of the golden table, of the tabernacle, and of the altar. Exodus 25, verses 10, 17, and 23. 26 and 27, verse 1. And all the numbers and dimensions of the temple. First Book of Kings, 6, verses 2 and 3. And many others. 649. But here the numbers or measures of the ark signify nothing but the remains that were with the man of this church when he was being reformed, and that they were but few. This is evident from the fact that in these numbers 5 predominates, which in the word signifies some or a little, as in Isaiah. There shall be left therein gleanings, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the branches of a fruitful one. 17 verse 6. Here, 2 or 3 and 5 denote a few. Again, 1,000 at the rebuke of 1. At the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, until ye be left as a pole upon the top of a mountain. 30:17. Here also 5 denotes a few. So too the least fine after restitution was a fifth part. Leviticus 5:16. 6:5. 22:14. Numbers 5:7. And the least addition when they redeemed a beast, a house, a field, or the tithes was a fifth part. Leviticus 27:13, 15, 19, and 31. 6:50. That length signifies the holiness, breadth, the truth, and height, the good of whatever things are described by the numbers, cannot so well be confirmed from the word, because they are each and all predicated according to the subject or the thing treated of. Thus length, as applied to time, signifies perpetuity and eternity, as length of days, in Psalm 23:6 and 21:4. But as applied to space, it denotes holiness, as follows therefrom. And the same is the case with breadth and height. There is a trinal dimension of all earthly things, but such dimensions cannot be predicated of celestial and spiritual things. When they are predicated, greater or less perfection is meant, apart from the dimensions and also the quality and quantity. Thus here the quality, that they were remains, and the quantity, that they were few. 6:51:16. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and to a cubit shalt thou finish it from above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lowest, second, and third story shalt thou make it. By the window, which was to be finished to a cubit from above, is signified the intellectual part. By the door at the side is signified hearing. By the lowest, second, and third stories are signified the things of scientific, of reason, and of understanding. 6:52. That the window signifies the intellectual part, and the door hearing, and thus that in this verse the intellectual part of man is treated of, is evident from what has been stated before, that the man of that church was reformed in this way. There are two lives in man, one is of the will, the other of the understanding. They become two lives when there is no will, but lust in place of a will. Then it is the other or intellectual part that can be reformed, and afterwards through this a new will can be given, so that the two may still constitute one life, namely charity and faith. Because man was now such that he had no will, but mere lust in place of it, the part which belongs to the will was closed, as stated at verse 14, and the other or intellectual part was opened, which is the subject treated of in this verse. 6:53. The case is this. When a man is being reformed, which is affected by combats and temptations, such evil spirits are associated with him as excite nothing but his things of scientific and reason, and spirits that excite lusts are kept entirely away from him. For there are two kinds of evil spirits, those who act upon man's reasonings and those who act upon his lusts. The evil spirits who excite a man's reasonings bring forth all his falsities, and endeavor to persuade him that they are true, and even turn truths into falsities. A man must fight against these when he is in temptation, but it is really the Lord who fights through the angels who are adjoined to the man. As soon as the falsities are separated and, as it were, dispersed by these combats, the man is prepared to receive the truths of faith. For so long as falsities prevail, a man can never receive the truths of faith, because the principles of falsities stand in the way. When he has thus been prepared to receive the truths of faith, then for the first time can celestial seeds be implanted in him, which are the seeds of charity. The seeds of charity can never be implanted in ground where falsities reign, but only where truths reign. Thus it is with the reformation or regeneration of the spiritual man, and so it was with the man of this church which is called Noah. Hence it is that here the window and door of the ark are spoken of, and its lowest, second, and third stories, which all pertain to the spiritual or intellectual man. 654. This agrees with what is at this day known in the churches, that faith comes by hearing. But faith is by no means the cognitions of the things that are of faith or that are to be believed. This is only science, whereas faith is acknowledgement. There can, however, be no acknowledgement with anyone unless the chief thing of faith is in him, which is charity, that is, love towards the neighbor and mercy. When there is charity, then there is acknowledgement or faith. He who apprehends otherwise is as far away from a cognition of faith as earth is from heaven. When charity is present, which is the goodness of faith, then acknowledgement is present, which is the truth of faith. When, therefore, a man is being regenerated according to the things of scientific, of reason, and of understanding, it is to the end that the ground may be prepared, that is, his mind, for receiving charity, from which, or from the life of which, he thereafter thinks and acts. Then he is reformed or regenerated, and not before. 655. That the window which was to be finished to a cubit from above signifies the intellectual part, any one may see from what has now been said, and also from the fact that when the construction of the ark is being treated of, and by the ark is signified the man of the church, the intellectual part cannot be otherwise compared than to a window from above. And so in other parts of the word, the intellectual part of man, that is, his internal sight, whether it be reason or mere reasoning, is called a window. Thus in Isaiah, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, I will make thy sons, windows, of rubies, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy border of pleasant stones. 54, verses 11 and 12. Here sons are put for windows, from the light that is admitted or transmitted. The sons or windows in this passage are intellectual things that come from charity, and therefore they are likened to a ruby. The gates are rational things thence derived, and the border is that which is of scientific and the senses. The Lord's church is here treated of. All the windows of the temple at Jerusalem represented the same, the highest of them the intellectual things, the middle rational things, and the lowest the things of scientific and the senses, for there were three stories. First Book of Kings 6, verse 8. Likewise the windows of the New Jerusalem in Ezekiel. 40 verses 16, 22, 25, 33, and 36. In Jeremiah, death has come up into our windows, it has entered into our palaces, to cut off the little child from the street, the young men from the streets. Vicus. 9, verse 21. Windows of the middle story are here meant, which are rational things, it's being meant that they are extinguished. The little child in the street is truth beginning. Because windows signify things intellectual and rational that are of truth, they signify also reasonings that are of falsity. Thus in the same prophet, woe unto him that buildeth his house in what is not righteousness, and his chambers in what is not judgment, who saith, I will build me a house of measures and spacious chambers. And he cutteth them out windows, and it is floored with cedar, and painted with vermilion. 22, verses 13 and 14. Here windows denote principles of falsity. In Zephaniah, droves of beasts shall lie down in the midst of her, every wild animal of his kind. Both the cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the pomegranates thereof. A voice shall sing in the window, wasting shall be upon the threshold. 2, verse 14. This is said of Asher and Nineveh. Asher denotes the understanding, here vastated. A voice singing in the windows, reasonings from fantasies. 656. That by the door at the side is signified hearing is now therefore evident, and there is no need that it should be confirmed by similar examples from the word. For the ear is to the internal organs of sense as a door at the side is to a window above, or what is the same, the hearing which is of the ear is so to the intellectual part which is of the internal sensory. 657. That by the lowest, second, and third stories are signified things of scientific, of reason, and of understanding, follows also from what has been shown. There are 3 degrees of intellectual things in man. The lowest is that of scientific, the middle is the rational, the highest the intellectual. These are so distinct from one another that they should never be confounded. But man is not aware of this, for the reason that he makes life consist in what is of sense and scientific only. And while he cleaves to this, he cannot even know that his rational part is distinct from that which is concerned with knowing, and still less that his intellectual part is so. And yet the truth is that the Lord flows through man's intellectual into his rational, and through his rational into the scientific of the memory, whence comes the life of the senses of sight and of hearing. This is true influx, and this is the true intercourse of the soul with the body. Without influx of the Lord's life into the things of the understanding in man, or rather into the things of the will, and through these into those of understanding, and through things of understanding into things rational, and through things rational into his scientifics which are of the memory, life would be impossible to man. And even though a man is in falsities and evils, yet there is an influx of the Lord's life through the things of the will and of the understanding. But the things that flow in are received in the rational part according to its form. And this influx gives man the ability to reason, to reflect, and to understand what truth and good are. But concerning these things of the Lord's divine mercy, we will treat hereafter. And also how the case is with the life that pertains to brutes. 658. These three degrees, which in general are called those of man's intellectual things, namely, understanding, reason, and science, are likewise signified, as before said, by the windows of the three stories of the temple at Jerusalem. First Book of Kings, 6, verses 4, 6, and 8. And also, as above, by the rivers which went forth out of the Garden of Eden in the east. The east there signifies the Lord. Eden, love, which is of the will. The garden, intelligence thence derived. The rivers, wisdom, reason, and science. Concerning which, see what was said before at chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. 659, verse 17. And I, behold, I do bring the flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of lives from under the heavens. Everything that is in the earth shall expire. By the flood is signified an inundation of evil and falsity. To destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of lives from under the heavens signifies that the whole posterity of the most ancient church would destroy themselves. Everything that is in the earth shall expire, signifies those who were of that church and had become such. 660. That by the flood is signified an inundation of evil and falsity is evident from what has been stated before concerning the posterity of the most ancient church, that they were possessed with foul lusts, and that they immersed the doctrinal things of faith in them, and in consequence had persuasions of falsity which extinguished all truth and good, and at the same time closed up the way for remains, so that they could not operate. And therefore it could not be otherwise than that they would destroy themselves. When the way for remains is closed, man is no longer man, because he can no longer be protected by angels, but is totally possessed by evil spirits, whose sole study and desire is to extinguish man. Hence came the death of the antediluvians, which is described by a flood or total inundation. The influx of fantasies and lusts from evil spirits is not unlike a kind of flood, and therefore it is called a flood or inundation in various places in the word, as of the Lord's divine mercy will be seen in what is premised to the following chapter. 661. To destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of lives from under the heavens. That this signifies that the whole posterity of the most ancient church would destroy themselves is evident from what is said above and from the description of them given before. That they derived by inheritance from their parents in succession such a genius that they more than others were imbued with direful persuasions, and especially for the reason that they immersed the doctrinal things of faith they possessed in their lusts. It is otherwise with those who have no doctrinal things of faith, but live entirely in ignorance. These cannot so act, and therefore cannot profane holy things, and thereby close up the way for remains. And consequently they cannot drive away from themselves the angels of the Lord. Remains, as has been said, are all the things of innocence, all things of charity, all things of mercy, and all things of the truth of faith, which from his infancy a man has had from the Lord and has learned. Each and all of these things are treasured up, And if a man had them not, there could be nothing of innocence, of charity, and of mercy, and therefore nothing of good and truth in his thought and actions, so that he would be worse than the savage wild beasts. And it would be the same if he had had the remains of such things, and had closed up the way by foul lusts and direful persuasions of falsity, so that they could not operate. Such were the antediluvians who destroyed themselves, and who are meant by all flesh wherein is the breath of lives under the heavens. Flesh, as before shown, signifies every man in general, and the corporeal man in particular. The breath of lives signifies all life in general, but properly the life of those who have been regenerated. Consequently, in the present case, the last posterity of the most ancient church. Although there was no life of faith remaining among them, yet as they derived from their parents something of seed therefrom which they stifled, it is here called the breath of lives, or, as in chapter 7, verse 22, in whose nostrils was the breathing of the breath of lives. Flesh under the heavens signifies what is merely corporeal. The heavens are the things of the understanding that are of truth, and the things of the will that are of good, on the separation of which from the corporeal a man can no longer live. What sustains man is his conjunction with heaven, that is, through heaven with the Lord. 662. Everything that is in the earth shall expire. This signifies those who were of that church and had become of this character. It has been shown before that the earth does not mean the whole world, but only those who were of the church. Thus no deluge was meant here, still less a universal deluge, but the expiring or suffocating of those who existed there, when they were separated from remains, and thereby from the things of the understanding that are of truth, and the things of the will that are of good, and therefore from the heavens. That the earth signifies the region where the church is, and therefore those who live there, may be confirmed by the following passages from the Word, in addition to those already cited. In Jeremiah, thus hath said Yahuwah, the whole earth shall be desolate, yet will I not make a consummation. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above shall be black. 4, verses 27 and 28. Here the earth denotes those who dwell where the church is that is vastated. In Isaiah, I will move the heavens, and the earth shall be shaken out of her place. 13, verse 13. The earth denotes the man who is to be vastated where the church is. In Jeremiah, the slain of Yahuwah shall be at that day from the end of the earth even unto the end of the earth. 25, verse 33. Here the end of the earth does not signify the whole world, but only the region where the church was, and consequently the men who were of the church. Again, I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. A tumult shall come even to the end of the earth, for Yahuwah hath a controversy with the nations. 25, verses 29 and 31. In this passage, in like manner, the whole world is not meant, but only the region where the church is, and therefore the inhabitant or man of the church. The nations here denote falsities. In Isaiah, behold, Yahuwah cometh forth out of his place to visit the iniquity of the inhabitant of the earth. 26, verse 21. Here the meaning is the same. Again, have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood the foundations of the earth? 40, verse 21. Again, Yahuwah that createth the heavens, God himself that formeth the earth and maketh it, he establisheth it. 45, verse 18. The earth denotes the man of the church. In Zechariah, the saying of Yahuwah, who stretcheth out the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man in the midst of him. 12, verse 1. Here the earth manifestly denotes the man of the church. The earth is distinguished from the ground, as are the man of the church and the church itself, or as are love and faith.